It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
Yes. Welcome to another episode of Animation. Three quarters of the squad is in the building. No bitch ass, hoe ass, Rob.
Bitch ass, hoe ass. Gone ass Rob.
Man, I don't know. I don't feel like Rob deserves that.
He definitely does.
Definitely,
he understands 100% that when he's not here, you're not exempt from the smoke. And I don't expect you to do it for anybody. When Cam's not, we miss Cam. So now that we know we've got to do Cam, when Amir steps in, Cam getting his work too.
Rob, everybody you're still my friend, Rob. And the other thing is you have to realize is that Rob also never participates in the hoeing people out.
That doesn't absolve him.
Let me tell you
from
something.
It absolves it from
this
him.
This is when I look at Rob and say it, this is what Rob does. He goes,
yeah.
See, so he's saying it in his mind. Yeah. Bitch ass, hoe ass.
No, he's not saying it. He's not saying it. Rob wouldn't do that.
No. I mean, I think
Rob can be very petty.
Yeah.
And vindictive. And he can talk some shit.
Just because that's not probably in his personality type, that doesn't mean he doesn't feel those sentiments about whoever we're saying it about.
Right. I don't say it about anybody. Thank you, Cameron.
So I feel like I shouldn't receive it either.
Nah.
I didn't realize that was a defensive play there.
Yeah, I mean,
I shouldn't receive this. Nah, man, everybody getting this smoke from me. I don't give a fuck, man. Because to me, that's love. That's what I'm doing. I was showing you love. That's what I'm doing. When you're not here, that's how I say I miss you. Because I ain't going to tell you that. I ain't going to say I miss Brennan. I'm gonna say, you bitch.
Have you ever told anybody?
Good free
have you ever told anybody on a podcast that you love them?
That I love them?
Mm-hmm. You know, have you ever been like, I love you, bro?
Yes, he has.
Yeah, I think in that sense, yeah.
Who?
I can't remember. Have I said that to you before?
Mm-hmm.
In what context?
When did I say that?
First bonfire story.
On a podcast? Oh, I think yeah.
Yeah. Like when we set it all up and did everything, you know.
Oh yeah, because I mean. I've always showed love.
He didn't say, he wasn't asking if you said it on the podcast. He said, have you told anybody on the podcast that you love them?
Yes.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm. And I did?
Yeah.
I probably did. I don't shy away from it. The older I get, the more emotional I am as a person. So.
No, I agree with that. That's some real shit, bro.
The older I've gotten, I've been
watching anime crying and shit. I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
I ain't
when I was a kid, I'd be like, I feel nothing.
Yeah.
And now I'd be like, man, a child died.
Man.
You know, I almost cried the other day. You know, he was a favorite to win the 400 in the indoor championships, and he didn't win. I was.
What place did he get?
He didn't place at all. He didn't because he played a football game the day before, and it fucked him up. Like he was too sore, so he didn't even PR or nothing. And he was just like, just seeing my child hurt like that, I was like, whoa, like I was. It almost got me. It almost got me. I had to kind of turn away from him and kind of put my head down because I was like,
son, you good.
Yeah, just because I think because he wanted it as bad as he wanted it and it was his and the person that ended up winning didn't even beat his best time. And I think that's what hurt him more than most because it's like if somebody just ran a faster time than you, then it's like, all right, I can live with that. But for the person who ended up getting the championship to not even beat his best time, he was just like, and he just started. He really got emotional, and that told me up, man. So
I see a little bit of water on the side of Ice's eye.
Yeah, man.
even running it back is like
damn. Because you know you don't want to see your kid hurt. So I do. I guess to that sentiment is like getting older or having kids makes you.
Hey, fathers, it's okay to cry in front of your kids, man. I know we probably don't, but
yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah,
see, that's not gonna happen.
That's terrible.
That's important too.
That's terrible.
When they grow up messed up.
Yeah.
But I say I love them every time I get off the phone. That's something I did not grow up with. And I feel like that's huge.
That is.
Yeah. And you know your dad loves you growing up. We did. But they never. I can count on one hand how many times my pop said he loved me.
Didn't
I mean, you didn't have your dad. So I think that's different. I thought you said.
It's a complicated situation.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll
move on.
Yeah. Yeah. All
right. But you know what we do? We talk our shit on here, do our one offs, get into the family shit.
My bad,
he's like, which father's this shit, man? What about your situation? Hey, man, shut the fuck up. I ain't talking about this shit. you know what we do on here. Animation Patreon, patreon.com/animation. You know what we do on here. Make sure you join that Patreon, S-H-U. And today, man, you know, we're going to be discussing My Hero Academia episodes. What was it? 130 what?
Oh my God! Why you ask it again?
Episode 20 and 21
for season 6, anyways. Episode 131, 132, or 131, whatever it is, the last ever episode.
133, 134
from a whole total standpoint, and Garen Logan episodes 11 and 12. But first, as always, before we get into that shit, we have a nice little poll for you. What you got for us, Ice?
Hey, real quick, if y'all texting a girl, well, you married, so you might not cancel it. But if y'all texting a girl, right? And you know how the new thing to say is like, I'm on demon time, right? We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you text a girl and she be like, I'm on demon slayer time, are you attracted or are you appalled?
Attracted.
If I was single, I would have got harder.
Really?
Yes.
If she's just like, instead of demon time, I'm on demon slayer time.
Nigga. Yeah, because now we can connect over time.
Yeah, now we have, you just opened up a world that we can connect
and
on.
And if she says like a certain demon, like she said like, I'm on demon slayer time. I'm on that upper moon.
I'm on that
one.
I'm on that Akaza today.
You know, and I don't know about all the demons. She says like, certain
call
demons.
Call me Rengoku.
I set your shit ablaze, bitch.
Yes,
bro.
Damn. So that attract, you wouldn't be like, you cornball.
Hell
no.
Nah.
No.
You'd
be attracted.
I, bro.
Especially if I don't know she knows, like, or she likes anime like that. She just says it out of nowhere.
Y'all still in the courting, phase.
I'd be in the hospital, like, my erection has lasted longer than 4 hours. That's when I'll be straight up just like, this is a problem.
You might, like, for me, at that time, because I like, there's not many women that I knew that were, like, into anime.
Right.
So she said that, and then, like I said, she named a demon, or she said, like, Akaza.
I think I'd be like, you cornball, but when she says the specifics, that's when I'd be like, oh.
What I'm saying is, I've gotten every girl I've dated into anime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and everyone has been into it, too. Yeah. So it's not like, because you already know, guys, like, after you get them into a couple episodes, any person that gets into the right anime and a couple episodes in, they're just like,
they're locked in.
Well, now I gotta watch this.
If anything, they'll watch that one. They might not venture off and go more into anime.
But they're still gonna be like, that shit was fire.
They usually watch that one.
Yeah. I don't understand how you would call her corny for just saying that. I would say like...
Did this happen to you?
No, it was just something that popped in my head. But I think about the times where women have said,
"Keep his life so on the
low." No, it definitely happened.
No, not to me.
No, that
it happened to a friend of mine.
He puts his phone face down on the table.
Ike McGow.
Named Cold.
My boy Cold.
But yeah, I just wanted to see what y'all. But yeah, I think when she gets into the details. I'd be like, oh yeah, you got me.
On that, because then I might just add to it myself. Or, but if she, like you said, if she literally says, like he said, the Akaza, fucking Rengoku, you about to end up like Rengoku.
Mm-hmm.
That means she's here to destroy you.
She about to kill your ass.
I'm like, I might have all red or something.
Right.
I want to die.
Yeah.
I want to die. Please kill me.
Kill me.
Okay, then she pull up in the Daki cosplay. Y'all with that? Y'all still with it?
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to that. She pulled up in like a sexy docky. Like I'm like, bro.
Effort. The thing is, if she puts together effort towards cosplay, even if it's a fail, the idea of the effort towards a cosplay, towards anime, 100%. Is what turns me on. Not necessarily the cosplay.
You told me you wouldn't want to smash a girl that you messing with or dating or whatever, and she dressed up like if she played dress up and did that.
100%. I'm on it. Even if she dressed up as one of the dude characters, I'm still for it.
like a woman version, of course.
Like she pull up in like a lady like Rengoku.
Hisoka, so you pull up in Hisoka.
She
pulls up in a Hisoka costume, and she tells you to put on a gone outfit. And she tells you to put on a gone outfit.
Keeps calling you a little boy.
Keeps calling you. Are you doing it?
Yeah, he
you're
is.
Not,
yeah, he
you're not. You're a fucking liar.
Hell
you
no.
You ain't telling us you're doing it, but you doing it.
Hell no. Hell no. Hell no.
Jesus. Can we get to the?
You right, but hold on. Are you doing it?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
No. The come here, little boy would have put me over.
No, I mean like. See, the thing is, actually, there's a girl I know. I don't know if I want to go into the story or not.
Real quick, just go ahead.
We're there now.
We're here. Right
now. No, I know. There's a girl I know. She's a beautiful Puerto Rican chick that that we may or may not have history from way back in college, way back when. Mm-hmm. And she's in anime before I even met her.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her favorite characters was Hisoka.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why? She's like, because I want to get it from Hisoka. Like, she's like, I want it from
him.
Like,
both women, that's what
yeah,
she is.
And she's like, I want to do that shit. And she actually asked me before, like, can you dress up like Hisoka? And And I was just like,
I don't have hair.
No.
That's what she said.
I had hair in college, but thank you. But
so at that point, you can't just go like, look, all right, This is an anime character. This is not real. No, because you would. She didn't actually dress up as R. Kelly. She's asked you to dress
it's
up.
It's worse than R. Kelly.
Is it?
No.
No, I'm about to say.
This is an anime character.
Would his? So I think maybe the outfit, but if like right when I went to start painting my face, I would have been like, nah.
Let's put this way.
Nah.
Two different scenarios here. It's somebody that you're already smashing, and they just want to do that for extra spice, or it's like, if you do this, we can smash. Those are two different kinds of situations.
Oh, she wanted the if you do this, we can smash.
That was the entry fee.
Just say it. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. That changes the question, don't it?
My thing at that point in time is like, if I don't know you like that, I'm not buying a costume for that. Now, if you have a costume, it is because you cosplay and, you know,
she does all that stuff, so she would help.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I would have did it. I would have did it, dog. And I would have. Because here's the thing. I know it's fun in games. I know it's not, you know, it's not serious. It's not a real character in a sense. It's like, and like Rob always say, don't yuck somebody else's yum.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not going to yuck or yum in a sense. And if you want to be technical, I guess, about it, it's for power. It's not, you remember, he's like, he's not necessarily lusting over that. That's always their thing, right? It's like, he's not lusting over the kids for real. Yeah. It's the power.
Look, you're justifying it. I want to know what he's going to do.
No pictures, please. No pictures, please.
But...
Amen.
Time to get out.
As long as there ain't no... She ain't got to wear the gone shit. Don't put the gone shit on.
Hey, what if she came out in the gone outfit, though?
I'll be like, take that off immediately.
The gone short skirt.
Because gone, he wears a little...
You see his face when I said that? Short. No, you see his face when I said that? It was over.
Yeah.
I was like, the Jones short skirt,
and then when
like...
when he gets buffed, remember, it can turn into a halter top. So now you see under boobs.
Halter top, short skirt, green skirt, white halter top.
No pictures, please. None of this can be recorded.
That's all I was asking.
I don't want to be surfing the internet one day and just see me.
She changes the song to Gummo.
All right, yeah, we got
it. That's going to be a ridiculous
list. Did I just say Gummo? I'm so sorry. That's a 6ix9ine reference. That's terrible.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you do. Oh, dog.
You see
imagine,
I did Gummo?
Yeah. Imagine if that's how you bust.
Hold
it, get it with the gum.
Oh, dog.
Oh, that's horrible. That is.
All right, Ice, come on. What's up, man?
All right, you with the bowl, bro.
Today's, since it's going to be clipped, let me catch my breath. All right.
Take your time. You're not Keenan. You can say it. I'm just saying, bro.
Like, trust me. Understand that when I go through these recaps, it's going to be Fumarooski City, baby.
Fumarooski City. All right. Which one of these characters would make the toughest upper moon demon? We have Dracul Mihawk from One Piece. We have Kakashi Hatake from Naruto. We have Bakia Kikichi. I don't know his last name. I can't say it right. From Bleach, Mr. Rose Petals and all. We have Kurapika from Hunter x Hunter. We have Toto, Mr. Clappy Clappy himself from Jujutsu Kaisen. And we have Todoroki from My Hero. So of these six characters, who do you guys want? We asked our Patreon, who would be the toughest upper moon demon? Coming in at ass last, which is surprising to me.
Surprising to me, too.
Shoto Todoroki.
What?
Zero votes.
Wow.
Zero votes.
Wow.
For fourth, we have, with 8% of the vote apiece, respectively, we have Kurapika and Toto. Coming in at number three.
This is kind of close, actually.
These top three people, let me give you the percentages. It's 25, 28, and 31%. So they're all within 5 to 6% of each other, which is crazy. We have at number three, we have Bakia, the captain himself. And number two, who I thought was going to win it, but he came in second, Kakashi Hatake at 28%. And then coming in at numero uno, we have Dracul Mihawk, the person who put Zoro in the game, so to speak. He taught Zoro. He fought Zoro with just like a pocket knife to show you how crazy this dude is. He was out here fighting because, you know, people in One Piece, they be taking the devil's fruit to, like, advance theyself and power up. He was out here with no devil's fruit handing people ales all across the seven seas.
Okay. So, I guess, do we have...
What do you guys got? Who do you guys have? Keenan?
Who do we have as the...
Who do you pick? Who do you guys pick
the toughest upper moon out of...
Who would make the... out of those six people, who do you guys believe would make the toughest upper moon?
Byakuya.
See, that's the thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the Naruto or the One Piece guy. So
yeah,
Yeah.
So for me, it's Byakuya. Like, wow. I've watched all of Bleach. He's a bad.
How would he give them problems? How would he give a Demon Slayer course problems?
I mean, even just his basic Shikai is like, you know, like he can he makes the, his entire sword scatter into a bunch of blades, razor blades
of roses.
Yeah, roses, the rose petals that will kill you.
Yep.
So for me, it's just like if you don't even know he's there, he can kill you before you even see him. Like you already know the cannon fodder children. It wouldn't even be close.
Yeah,
they would never have a chance. You know what I'm saying? So it's like looking at it from that perspective, it's. That's just Shikai. And then he goes into his Bankai, and he has, like, three different levels to it, you know? And so he'd give him problems because it would just be, like, pure, just too much. He can overwhelm you, you know? And even still, he can put you inside of his own world, and it's just like, all right, now you're here in my world, and I'm just going to kill you slowly.
So seeing Akaza, do you think he's above Akaza or below Akaza?
I haven't really seen Akaza. Outside. Like, he fought Rengoku, but he didn't really do much.
So do you think he's, like, up there, or do you think he's, like, 4 or 5, you think he's stronger than the pot guy?
I think that he would probably be like, I'm thinking about the only upper demon that I've actually seen fight was number six. That's it.
And Akaza, yeah.
Yeah, I think that he could probably take out number six.
Probably.
Actually, he definitely could take out number six. To thinking about it, because it's like, oh, you got to cut off both their heads at the same time, it'd be child's play for him.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be, like, he would destroy that demon.
You know other thing that would make him a problem? That flash step. That flash,
yeah, how fast they are.
That,
yeah,
that flash step would be fucking crazy.
They're just so fast. Yeah. So, and then he also has the other thing is they also have their magic shit. I forget what they call it. Keto.
Yeah, keto.
They have keto. Yeah. So he has all these things. So he has levels.
Keto
to the,
54.
Well, and then
keto,
it's just amplified by being a demon because you get all those extra abilities.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
right.
In that space, I'd say he's more powerful than number six. I don't know what number 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1 are capable of, so I can't speak to if he's more powerful than them or not, but he's significantly more powerful than number six.
I'm sure that was your vote, too, of those people?
Yeah, I mean, I would put him on par with what I've seen of Akaza, probably either at his level or number 4, at least, I would say.
Cool. What you got, Kenan?
You know that's a setup question, right?
For what?
Just for, like, later on when we see what Akaza can
do.
Okay. You're like, remember what you... All right, now tell me what you think.
But, like, it's... Byakuya is already super powerful. Like, I don't know how powerful Akaza was before he was a demon.
Yeah.
Because you've already got someone who's X amount of powerful and then add on any demon abilities he's
which
given.
Which elevates
their
ability.
He could be as powerful as number one.
But Byakuya would have showed up to the fight against, you know, number six. It would not have been a fight.
Because, like, he's at least on par with Rengoku. Imagine he Rengoku
got,
was a demon.
I'll say this. He would have got Tengen up out of here.
Who's
he would have got Tengen the
your favorite guy, double sword.
He would have put Tengen in a pack, for sure.
Yeah, and all the three demon slayers, they would all be dead.
All of them
immediately. Auditor. It wouldn't have not even it would have been half an episode.
He wouldn't have played.
I think
that's the thing about Byakuya, that he don't play around. That's what he somewhat played around a little bit when he fought that one Espada, the black guy. He kind of played around with him a little bit, but that was the only time he ever fucked around. Other than that, he don't.
He's
bullshit
pretty
you.
Clinical and pretty precise. He's there to do one thing.
He doesn't enjoy fighting.
And that
he
was just more
things.
So if he just wanted to see what that black dude was about. He was just like, man, it's my first time really running into y'all. Let me see what y'all doing over here.
I mean, for me, it's weird because it's like I would like to say Kurapika just because, you know, if he can pretty much like. What make those kind of deals or whatever?
Yeah, with his heart,
but stay alive. Like I can make this deal, and so I can technically still do stuff. Then I think he'll be super dangerous. But if not, I would put Todoroki just because you know now he can go infinite flame without ever burning out. Like he doesn't have to worry about burning out or dying. He can literally use the flame to the highest to the extreme, his ice to the highest to the extreme. He ain't got to ever worry about cooling no shit off.
Yeah,
and if he's a demon from over 100 years mastering that power,
yeah,
bro, he's going to be an absolute problem. I will put him low key above Akaza because I just know that Akaza, I guess I'm trying not to say anything without spoiling, but it's like
that's a skill set Akaza doesn't have,
right? Yeah,
he doesn't have like outward powers,
right? He's essentially hands,
yeah.
He's essentially like I'm here to fuck you up, and that's what you about to get,
yeah.
And I think that would be why Shoto will be able to. Take that leap over him. Now, I don't know. I mean, possibly he might get to a point where he's the strongest number one, but like I think number one is like what you guys said, Byakuya is. He's like, I'm not here to fuck with you.
Yeah.
I'm here to get you up out of here.
Yeah.
And
he
so,
plays no games.
Yeah, I'm not here to see how strong you are.
Yeah.
it's about smoking you and getting going on to the next thing. We got to get out, get done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and then the Upper Moon 2, he fucks around a lot, so that might
he
get
plays
him
around. Yeah,
that might get him into a little bit of trouble.
Yeah,
with some people, but yeah, I would choose Shoto Todoroki.
Yeah, for me, I mean, not even you taking a bias out of it. I love Naruto, but Kakashi would be my guy just because his skill set, what he's able to do. I mean, the visual powers of the Sharingan amplified against, to your point of, you know, Todoroki not having any setbacks or side effects to using his power. Same thing with the Sharingan. The biggest L or the biggest side effect of the Sharingan is the fact that it can give you blindness. You won't be able to see out that eye and all of that. So without that, he's just able to spam the Sharingan over and over again. He created Chidori, which is a lightning stream of power that can fuck somebody up. His hand-to-hand combat, his taijutsu is great. I think all of what he brings to the table, he's good with weapons, and when he necessarily has to use them, his intelligence, again, he's been, the way that he's able to analyze a fight in real time is crazy. It's up there as one of the greatest of all anime. So that with years, that means he'll have years, decades upon decades of fighting experience and fighting data. So when he runs into the Demon Slayer, it's just like, bro, I got y'all already. Nick's, okay, you strong. Okay, cool. So I think he would be against this group of people. I think he'd be the toughest Upper Moon to beat just because his bag is so deep and he could use substitution jutsus. They would waste all their power fighting what they thought is Kakashi, and the whole time it's a clone, and he's like, oh, okay, damn, my clone fucking fucked y'all up. Now it's time for me to come down and fight y'all for real when y'all let damn near zero. So I think his bag is almost infinite. So to elevate that at a demon level, It wouldn't be any fun for the Demon Slayer Corps, all of them. And where he would rank, I would say he'd be right there under Muzan. I would say he'd be number one, and then the number one demon would be number two, and it drop down that, because again, his bag is so deep. Muzan is a different beast, which I won't.
Yeah.
But I think he would be definitely number one.
That shows you that still nobody has anybody above Muzan.
Yeah. Yeah.
That shows you that, like, y'all.
I think he would give Muzan problems, but Muzan, I mean,
he's just, yeah, he's a problem. Mm-hmm. He's literally, that's, you know, he's Iverson. He's answering the problem.
Yeah, the problem.
All right, so like, are we gonna get into episodes 2021 for
2021
of My Hero Academia. This is the key cap, the weak cap,
the weak cap.
The
come on, man, don't even announce. Just do it. Let's go. Dot. Diving.
All right, first off, let's go. So, man, first episode pretty much starts off at first with Deku having to fight, having to save somebody who has an animal kind of quirk.
She's ugly.
Yeah, that's messed up to say because they think she's a villain, and you'll see later on, and even in the mangas, like there's a reason. There's people that pretty much get discriminated against that have those type of quirks. And the people discriminate with quirks, discriminate people that have animal quirks, which is like fucked up.
That's fucked up.
So you just said she's ugly, man.
It's still fucked up. It's fucked up that they discriminated against her.
So pretty much Deku jumps in, saves her from a mob of people thinking she's a villain because she's kind of roaming around at night trying to leave the city because shit has been going down. During that whole moment, after that happens, Deku's pretty much talking to all the users that he's been dealing with, and the first user is actually trying to convince two users that have been facing the wall the whole time to like start to lend their power, their quirks to Deku to try to convince them to help Deku out, because they're going to need all their power once it comes time to fight all for one. We get a little bit of backstory about those two users. They actually saved the original user, all for one's brother. They actually saved him at some points. We got a little bit of backstory about that. We then go to Deku swinging around like Spider-Man out here. You know, his phone gets shot up. He's shook. He's like, what the hell is happening? Then All Might's car gets shot up. Hawks and Best Genius, they off on some shit getting fucked up. And we find out that Lady Nagant, she's been hired to take out Deku. She's considered the best sniper. Like other snipers and all the long-distance quirk people.
Sniper gang.
They envy her because she has, her distance is crazy. I think what it says is 6 kilometers or 600 kilometers? It's something crazy like that. Something fucking wild. And she can pretty much like make bullets with like her hair and turn them into anything. She can shoot bullets a certain way. She can make them.
They gotta be 600 because 6 ain't that far.
kilometers though is
six
more than
kilometers miles. Is really far.
Yeah,
that's miles, bro.
Yeah,
that's like 2.7 miles or something like that.
It's something crazy that I think a sniper can normally some of the best snipers can probably do like a mile away maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's far as fuck. And she could, like I said, she could turn her hair into bullets and do different things like that. She can make
2.14 miles is the longest sniper shot ever made.
Right. So.
So it has to be longer than that.
Yeah, it's not six. It's six. It has to be 600 because six is like
600. What's 600 kilometers in?
600 kilometers is a few hundred miles.
Yeah, that's not possible.
Yeah,
that's not even feasible
physically.
For a
superhero
show.
I don't think
it's. Anyway,
I think it's 6 kilometers. That's
because six
really
kilometers
far.
Is like 3 miles.
Yeah,
yeah, that's longer than the longest snipe in history. That's too so far away.
Yeah,
imagine somebody like, 3 miles away from
you. Can't even
like,
you can't see that. I don't think
yeah, you can't even
eye.
Yeah, you can't even see that far.
On a clear day, you can't see that far.
I mean, this is an anime show, so
yeah. Well, anyways, so she starts popping shots at Deku, barely missing. And the reason why she's missing is because luckily he has that little Spider-Man quirk that kind of gets his Spidey senses off. 3.7.
Yeah, 3.7 miles. That's so much.
So you know, Deku, he's able to kind of miss some of these dodge some of these shots because you know he has a little Spider-Man Spidey senses quirk. Oh, I feel a bullet coming, and she typically actually doesn't miss. So we get a little bit of backstory on why. One for All actually hired her. She was coming out of jail. She was dragging some dude that had no arms and shit like that. And pretty much was like, look, I'm looking to hire you, and I'll give you some bread to pretty much kill this person. And he's like, she was looking at him like, look, man, I don't know if you noticed, but I actually had a bullet with your motherfucking name on it, too. You better get up out of here, too, bro. Mm-hmm. We later on find out that person that she's dragging with no arms has been screaming daddy, daddy the whole time, papa, papa, whatever, is actually Overhaul. We found out that that's Overhaul. He's with no arms. He's pretty much down and out, depressed. He's fucked up. We cut back to Goku, and she's still trying to pop him. And then he figures out, if I can just get out of her range, then she'll be in some trouble. And that's pretty much where the episode ends for that episode. Episode Deuce, the fight continues between her and Deku. And let me tell you something. She has a little bit of something up her sleeve, too. She has a little bit of quirk that what's his name, your boy, One for All gave her. All for One. I keep getting the names mixed up. One for All. All for One. All for One. That's his name.
There you go. Weak cap.
Yeah, just weak cap. All for One gave her a quirk, pretty much, that helps her, like, what's it called again? It's called, not float, but it's,
Airwalk.
Airwalk, yeah, that's right. Airwalk, which pretty much can give her a little bit more distance. She can pretty much, like she's running on air, pretty much. So all my so they end up where'd I leave all that shit? Anyways, they keep fighting. Midoriya finds himself a little bit overwhelmed and cornered. As a result, he's starting to unleash some of his other quirks. He's sitting there, he's getting fucked up, but he uses the mist. He uses the mist quirk, and he's realizing that, all right, I need to figure this out. The dude with the mist quirk tells him, like, look, you gotta chill, bro. You gotta chill out. You can't use all this mist at once. It can backfire against you. You have to be smart about this. Also, you have to understand that when you're using all these quirks combined, like you're not there yet. You don't have that shit yet. But he doesn't really give a fuck. So he uses the mist. He starts throwing his backpack out there, throwing his little handkerchief that what's the name gave him? All Might's Gran Torino. He gave him, throwing everything out there to distract her. She's shooting those things, and he finally busts through the building. She's like, "Oh shit! I didn't know you were gonna bust through the building because I was trying to find you through the smoke." Catches her ass. They start scrapping, they start talking a little bit, and then pretty much they start having you get a little bit of her backstory about why she was, you know, why she's who she is. And man, let me tell you something. This is where it gets kind of interesting with Lady Nagant and the backstory of her. It's pretty much like she was a hero beforehand, but she was pretty much kind of like a hero to hire a gun. Like, hey, we do this over here. We're going to smile, happy, get this money, let people know we're the heroes and shit like that, but we need some people behind the scenes that kind of do some shit that's the dirty work. Y'all go behind here, kill some of these heroes, even kill some of these good guys for us. But that's pretty much what we're hiring you for, because you're essentially an assassin. You're a hired gun. And so we go through that backstory. We find out that she actually kills the chairman. And she's like, yo, what are we doing all this for? Like, why are we kind of doing this? She's like, look, man.
Why you asking all the questions?
Yeah, yo, you talking above your pay grade, motherfucker. Sit your ass in line, shut the fuck up, and do what the fuck we tell you to do. And she pops his ass.
Yeah. She's like, you're not stronger than me, though.
And
pussy.
I feel that. She's like, yo, who are you talking to? Because I don't know what the chairman's quirk was. Yeah. But if he didn't have a quirk, I'm like, don't you ever run your mouth.
Shut Imagine your mouth when you talk to me. Running this shit and they don't have no quirk.
You don't know. I mean, have you guys seen fucking The Boys?
Yeah.
Some people be running their mouth like they talk that shit. I'm like, you don't have a fucking quirk and you're running your mouth.
Why are you asking all them questions? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Asking all them questions. Like, you know, assuming, making statements.
Yeah. So they're kind of going at it, and she ends up I'm sorry. She kind of ends up getting away, and they start fighting again. And when they're fighting, now, you know, she's like, "All right, I know what heroes do. Heroes always need to save somebody." So, and saving somebody pretty much yeah, I'm fucking stupid, man. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pop a shot at Overhaul, and I know you're going to try to save him. When you try to save him, I'm going to pop a shot at him. That's going to get him up out of here, and a job is well done. At this particular point in time, Deku actually has Fajin quirk that can kind of like store up
kinetic energy,
and he stores it up in both legs.
That's so funny, just seeing him
do the bouncy thing.
Yeah, because he was popping that.
I was like,
ass.
What's he doing?
Deku was popping that. He popping that pussy, man. So he was doing that. He has that power, and he ends up using one leg to get over to Overhaul, save him while she shoots a bullet at him. Uses his other leg to use that kinetic energy, goes back, hits her gun, breaks her gun. And she's like, "Oh, shit, man, how'd you do that, man? You crazy. You did all this bad shit." And he's like, "Look, man, I'm trying to tell you, you don't got to do all this shit. It's not, you don't got to be a bad guy like that out here in these streets, all right? I'm here for you. We know you good."
That's two people were talking. Two different people were talking right there.
Well, Deku's telling her that, like, "You ain't got to do all that."
But before that, it was Lady Nagant was talking?
No, she wasn't talking. It was just him. But she's telling him, like, "Look, you know, this is what it is. I was hired to do this, but I'm sorry, you know what I'm saying? This is what I was going through. This is kind of the things I was going through." He's like, "Oh, I see what happens. That's kind of bad and fucked up and shit." And she's like, "Oh, man, it's all good." And then all of a sudden, he's like, "Yo, man, look, you can come to our side." And she's like, "Oh, maybe I can probably do that one day." And then all of a sudden, you know, your boy One For All activates his fucking curse quirk. What is it? I think it's a curse quirk.
Awful one.
One for all. He I get the names mixed up. Pretty much, he detonates a quirk in her to where damn near blows her up. Damn near destroys her.
Yeah,
she gets fucked up, and then pretty much, Deku lets her go. He gets messed up from the blast. She's pretty much falling, dying. She's not dead yet, but she's falling to her death at this particular point. She's unconscious pretty much, and he's trying to save her, but he has pretty much no power left. And who comes and saves the day? Your boy Hawks flies through. Well, I mean, hovers through. Because he ain't fully there to fly either. His wings are still small. And he saves her. And as he's falling, he's like, "Yo, Endeavor, bro, you know I can't fly yet. What was that? Help your boy out." And Endeavor's like, "Hey, it's raining, dog. I can't even supposed to be here in the rain like this." So Deku loses.
Which is wild that your number one hero has an elemental flaw like that.
I would say the rain should be able to stop you.
It slows him down.
Yeah, slows him down. So pretty much, Deku uses the last bit of his power with his Black Whip. That kind of saves him, Hawks and Lady Nagant. And then pretty much, Deku goes like, "Look, I have Overhaul over there, and I need you to grab Overhaul, bring him down here." And they get down there and they start talking. And she's like, "Look," Hawks tells her, like, "Look, I'm the person that replaced you. Mm-hmm. We need you. Let us know what's happening. Well, I'm letting you know they told us to take Deku to the mansion." And that's what a few of us were told. "I'm sorry, and I don't know if I can help you guys out in any type of way." And Overhaul was just like, "Look, I told you I want to see my pops, man. I want to see my daddy and shit. So just do what she told, what she said she's going to do to me." And he was just like, "Look, I don't like the way you talk to Eerie, pretty much. And I need you to go apologize, dog." Mm-hmm. "So you're going to take your bitch ass over to the spot. You're going to apologize to our homegirl. And then maybe I'll do what she said you want her to do." And then he thought about it, like, "Oh, maybe you can actually, you know, help my pops out still while I go talk to Eerie," or whatever the case may be. And it pretty much ends like at that. And Deku's like, "Yo, bro, I'm pissed off. All For One ain't playing no games. I really gotta go get this motherfucker." And then that's how the episode pretty much ends. Damn. Recap for y'all bitch asses.
That's pretty weak.
Yeah, that was pretty weak, but you can only find it on the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
Yep. So let's get into the questions. Let's do it. My Hero Academia. First question. Would you rather be in a society where we had heroes, but they hid themselves more like, I guess, like the Batmans and type of the world where they're not showing off and being like, "Hey, we're in front of the world. We're the heroes. Pay me. I'm hero for hire" type shit. Or would you rather live in a society where the heroes are like that, where they're kind of out there letting you know who they are? You know, I can go be like, "Yo, let's go call Long Hair Cam to help us out and do these things over here." Which society would you guys rather live in? If I'm not a hero, I think I would probably rather just like, yo, y'all keep, y'all stay in secret, show up when you show up. You know, yeah. I think it's going to start to be too much if they're out there like that, because like you said, they're going to, it's going to turn like kind of like this. Mm. Yo, bro, hey, I'm here
like
to help out.
You mean like the boys also too, where they're like out in the public eye?
They're out in the public eye. People know who they are. They probably know them by name. They might even hire these heroes personally. And I think heroes going to be like, yo, bro, I'm the most popular dude getting cocky on social media, doing TikTok dances and shit. I don't need all that for my heroes, bro. Yeah. I need you to show up and do the fucking work. Yeah. That is it. I don't need you out there being like, hey, man, Brendan told me he's going to give me $100 for this job. You talking about 75? I'm going to need 125 for that.
As you're hanging off a building.
Yeah. As I'm hanging off a building.
Right.
I can't. I ain't got it, man. I'm on unemployment. Yeah. And I dropped to my death. I ain't got time for this shit, bro. I'd rather my heroes show up. And they're heroes because they want to be fucking heroes. They're not doing it because they want money. They're not doing it because of the clout.
This city needs me.
That's how we want to be. Ice.
Yeah, I would rather mine to be in the shadows handling business, because I think my biggest fear is the social media aspect of it all. And they're just too busy worrying about their followers, getting their popularity up, the fame of it all, and the corruption that comes with the fame. And then all of the people that might want to try to be wannabes of this person and or acting like this person, not really that. Like, just the consequences and repercussions that having heroes in a public eye like that would bring, I'm good.
Imagine you fall off a building and somebody's, like, up there doing a TikTok dance, like, ah! Mm-hmm. They don't even know you falling. You just hit the ground right behind them in the middle of their TikTok dance.
Yeah.
I'll be hot. I'll be like, bro, you could have fucking saved me, but you worried about this shit.
You worried about your followers. Yeah.
Brennan?
I'm going to play devil's advocate and just say that on the other side of it, I do like the idea of there being accountability to the heroes, too. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Because, like, let's say that they don't save you or they destroy the whole block trying to save, you know, a cat.
Or they throw your car at Galactus.
Yeah, you throw your car at Galactus. But it's
that's a waste of time.
But you're not covered. But I'm saying, but your insurance is like, well, we don't cover hero incidents. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Get the hero
that'll be wild. Yeah.
Insurance would definitely do that. I mean, so for me, it's like, I can see the benefits on both sides. Like, with there being accountability, that means that there's a way that, you know, we
but
can
But what
make
you
sure.
mean accountability? How?
For their actions. So let's say they mess up.
Well, because you'd have lots of people who wouldn't.
If you want to be a hero, you got to have hero insurance.
Follow that person.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I want to be a hero. Like, I'm still a human being. I'm going to make mistakes. There will be collateral damage. And, like, we've seen in so many different superhero stories and so many different, like, powered places that just being a person who claims yourself a hero puts everything and everyone anywhere near you into danger just by you being that.
I think
regardless if you're in the public eye or not.
I think having, what you just said, even using the hero insurance as a thing for a hero to have, why that would be hard to even have is, like, they wouldn't even be able to do their job for real fully.
No, because they could.
Because if now I got to, like, skate by and make sure I don't damage some shit, now I'm worried more about that, I can't do my job to the best of my ability.
I would hope that the hero is already thinking about that as they're running.
Yeah, as they're running. You see, like, there's the responsible, like, this is good, like, The Incredibles. That show is a perfect example of this. Mm. It's like, in The Incredibles, you saw Elastigirl. She gets around, you know what I'm saying, in the sense of she hot. You see what I did there? But she doesn't, like, when she's... Like, that's the reason they sent her out instead of Mr. Incredible, because they're like, you caused too much collateral damage. Mm. She goes out there, she knocks people out, she does nothing. No buildings get damaged. Everybody's safe. Everything's good. The only people who get hurt are the bad guys. And there you go.
And then what happens when we kind of have a situation like the boys, we're just like, look, I'm not doing none of this shit. And if you step up and say something, family's murdered.
That's why the accountability is thrown out the window.
But for me, the
I'm
people
powerful.
In the shadow. But the people in the shadows, that doesn't change that problem. You know what I'm saying? It's like, they're in the shadows,
because I feel like I still can destroy everybody. Like, again, because
there's no way to even hold them accountable.
If you're in the shadows moving that way, it's just like the pressure to do any of that stuff, good or bad, is alleviated. Because it's like, well, I mean, I'm chilling in the shadows. I get the stuff done.
What prevents them from going too far?
Yeah, what prevents them from doing whatever they want to do? It's like, all right, now I'm Red Hood.
It's easier to kill these guys instead of saving, instead of like
stopping the police keep letting them out. So I'm going to kill them all. I'm the judge, jury, and executioner.
But that stuff, I mean, I guess we can only go off of media, of course, but that stuff has already happened. And when it happens, it's bad. It's just like, hey, you did a bad thing. So?
Yeah, well, the thing is, though, it's like, if
but
we
you wouldn't
know
have,
who
you
are,
wouldn't have anyone to be say hey to. You'd
yeah,
be
the
like,
thing is, there's no accountability.
But if the outcome is the same, who cares?
But the thing is, accountability doesn't necessarily, like, I'm going to sound so villainous in saying this, but accountability doesn't necessarily always just lead back to what I can do to you specifically. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you still want to live a life. You still got friends. You still got family. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how do you hurt Superman?
If we
like,
just
you hurt Lois Lane.
If we,
you know what I'm saying? But my point being is, like, if you want to hold somebody accountable, you can. regardless of what they are or what they aren't.
But I don't think in a greater sense of things that I don't think it changes anything.
It changes their behavior. There's no accountability.
Because
you
if y'all hurt Lois Lane, I'm killing all of you. Nah, you just fucked yourself.
Yeah, but the thing is, if I threaten to hurt Lois Lane because you're doing these things over here,
and you will never be seen again,
I guess what I would like, and I see what you're saying. What I would sort of lean towards ISIS after watching The Boys is like there's really no accountability,
right?
On Highlander? Is it Highlander?
Homelander.
Yeah. There's no really accountability on him. He goes when he wants to run amok, when he wants to get shit done, he goes, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And if you fucking say anything to me, I'm blowing your head off.
I think you run into that problem regardless of the situation if someone's as powerful as Homelander. Because the reason why he can't be held accountable because there's no one who can physically hold him accountable.
So this is spoiler. They nearly killed that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Mm? They nearly killed him, which they could have. So the point being is like he's not so powerful that he can't be killed. If the other heroes are like, this person needs to die, Homelander would die.
You'd need a power scaling. You would need people who'd be able to physically stop said person.
You would need a Batman in my sense.
Off.
Like you need somebody to be like, I have a plan that can kill all you motherfuckers. Because I feel like at first they didn't have one. And then with Homelander, they're just like, all right, fine, we got to the shits. But it's just like
they're like, get his son right.
Yeah, we're just like, but at the point in time, we're like, we don't have a way how to kill this motherfucker.
How did that work for Omni-Man though?
His son.
It didn't.
I mean,
it didn't.
That's such a good show.
I didn't mean the comic. Omni-Man could have literally fucked that whole planet.
All right, let's get to the next question. All right, how do you feel about Lady Gaga's type of characters that switch sides? Since, you know, she was a hero, and now she is a villain. And is she possibly even a hero again? Is she possibly done for? But what happens? Do you like characters that switch sides, pretty much?
I'm not a fan of those characters when they go back to their original place. I think, like, the Starstream type of characters, like, that's who come to mind. It's like, you switch sides, you're a bad guy, then you go back to good, then you go back to bad. Like, I don't like, oh, I'm a wild card type of characters. I think those are corny. I think, you know, some people, not everybody, they might lean on them for writing purposes, for shot purposes, or maybe to make a twist. But, like, after you go on that side, stay on that side. And then if you come back, why are you coming back? Like, Vegeta. Vegeta was bad. He went good. That's fine. He stayed a good guy. Outside of the Majin stuff, it's like he was okay. And I don't even really hold that against him. But if he kept going back and forth, and I like if Frieza was good then bad, I would have been like, all right, bro, this is a little bit too much for me. So yeah, those type of switching sides character, you get one. Go to that side. Stay on that side. Don't keep going back and forth.
Brennan.
I think you get one too. Like going back and forth is a problem. Like it really is. I mean, I was trying to think of examples of who's done it a bunch.
Starstream, that was a person that I mean, I like.
He done it more than once.
He said Starstream.
Yeah, Starstream. He did it. He was fucking.
Oh, you mean from Transformers?
From Transformers, yeah.
I don't think he ever really truly was, like an optimist aside. I feel like he was just trying to play whichever.
He's
side
always
he's on.
He was stabbing Megatron in the back. He was never an optimist aside. Yeah, he just hated Megatron. Evil. He wanted to be the bad. He wanted to be who Megatron was. He never wanted to be who Optimus was or Optimus side.
I mean, it's just human nature that you can't really do that very much.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to trust you at some point. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Good guys, bad guys, doesn't matter. Nobody's going to trust you if you flip more. If you do it more than one time, then you no longer have friends. Mm-hmm. Like that's what it comes down to. You ain't got nobody else to go back to, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm with Ice.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it depends on what's the reasoning. Because I feel like even with her, she didn't really switch sides for real. She's essentially a gun for hire. So like it's like I saw what was happening, and I really don't fuck with this anymore. So I'm kind of doing my own thing in a sense. I didn't really picture her as a villain per se fully. And I figured, like, she got a proposition handed to her. She's just like, I get this bread. I just got out of jail. And you gonna give me a quirk? All right, man, cool. I'll take this money for this shit. But, like, I don't really necessarily think.
That's, but you killing heroes.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is she was a hero. She's like a kill for hire in a sense. Like, anybody could have hired her for a certain type of money. She probably did the job. Is what I'm saying.
But her decision that she was made was based in hate, though. It didn't have nothing to do with the money.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess to my point still, it depends on the situation. I don't mind them switching sides. Now, them switching back, I feel like I might give them two times depending on what happened. Because let's say I go with the villains and they fuck me, like bad. Oh, I'm getting y'all out of here too. I'm on now probably on nobody's side. I probably wouldn't switch sides. We're like, all right, now I got to go solo.
Usually those characters are solo characters. And typically it's only an instance where it's like the enemy of my enemy is my friend type situation where it's like, okay, we have a similar enemy. So we're both going to work together to stop said
I feel like that would be
kind of like a Orochimaru.
I feel like that'd be more of like a me. It's just like I wouldn't trust none of y'all, to be honest. I feel like both of y'all corrupt. I feel like the only person I can trust is myself in this situation. So I'll be me, and I might be a hired gun for certain situations, but essentially, I don't really fuck with either one of y'all. And either one of y'all can get it at any single
point. I think Punisher
point.
Is probably a good example of a character like that, because he's not a good
he's not
guy
really
nor
on either.
Bad guy. He's out
he's
for himself.
Anti-hero.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
I would say Punisher's a good guy, though. If you had if you had to align him, he's more on a good
depends
side.
Depends on who you ask. He's like, yeah, I just, you know, I stole $100 from the old lady. Punisher shot me in the forehead. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Who's a good guy? But, you know, I'm not mad.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, I don't even want to ask that question. I'll ask it. After learning what you've learned from Lady Nagant about how the heroes are maneuvering behind the scenes and, you know, setting people cats up to kill other people and being kind of corrupt in how the heroes are, if you were a hero, would you still be a hero after finding out the information from her? And I'll let you guys go first before I answer. Ice, would you stay a hero after learning all the information that she just gave you and you was a hero? You was fucking, I don't know, whatever hero you are with your powers, and you was happy-go-lucky. I love this job.
I think I would be highly upset that we lied to the people. I would understand, because I think it'd be hypocritical of me to say that I wouldn't still be a hero, because, I mean, how many secrets are all of these countries' governments keeping from us? I mean, and then the stuff that the little scraps and pieces of quote-unquote confidential and secret information that we do have of war crimes, this shit is out of control. And that's the bits and pieces that we've been able to uncover over the past couple hundreds of years. So you elevate that with powers, and it's like, okay, these people are keeping us safe, and this is what they have to do to keep us safe. And there has been, in this world, it's been documented when villains have been able to break out. So the alternative, non-violent, I guess, alternative that we've been given of putting them in these super prisons and they get them up out of here. Mm-hmm. I know that. I mean, that's that, and you got to present that to the public. But if this is what we have to do underground to really keep people safe, and again, to the point that Brennan made too, it's like, okay, long as we're not shooting people and getting people up out of here in the head for stealing from the grocery store, then that's fine. If we kill it, if we got to get Mr. Muscles up out of here and he never come back, that's fine with me.
Yeah. Brennan?
I think it's a hard question to answer, because like the short answer is yes, I'd still be a hero. But the long answer is then, okay, who am I trying to save now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who do I call the villain anymore? Mm-hmm. You know, like do I start going after the government?
That's
itself?
True too.
You know what I'm saying? Like
the machine.
If I actually believe that they are the ones doing wrong now,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and I still call myself a hero, that means that now they're the ones that need to go to jail. You know, but they're also the ones who own the jail. You know, right. So
yeah.
it's just like yeah. it's just
imagine putting somebody in jail and we're like, I'll be out soon.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I mean, so for me it just becomes like a circle thing, and then like it's even like in that space, it's like if I'm a hero and that's what I've been training my whole life to be, is just a hero to save people and then pass them off to the system that allows things to work out after I finish beating up the bad guy or you know, saving you from falling from 1,000 feet or whatever. Excuse me. But you have to consider is like, all right, so that system is now gone, or I don't trust that system anymore that I'm giving them to. It's like, so now I'm fighting against that system.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, then if I don't have that system behind me, then how am I even a hero anymore? Or take the other side, is that when you look at like historically, people who are conquerors are good at conquering, they're not good at governing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, all right, well, shit, this whole system needs to go down. You tear the system down,
and it's like,
who's
going
to rebuild up one that works?
Yeah.
Because you're probably going to have some really harsh policies and criminals. Like, that's what I think was happening in Guatemala right now. It's like they had a rebellion, and this guy was an amazing rebellion leader. It was great, but now he's a dictator.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Nah,
because
I'm the only one.
I'm the guy. It's just like, well, now your ego and your principles that allowed you to be the rebellion does not allow you to be a good governor.
Because it's like, what? Who to say is your side is good? Because maybe the villains think they're the heroes.
You
in
were
a sense.
Exactly. Yeah. You were like, the thing is, you can have good intentions until you're blue in the face. But good intentions do not equate to like good things.
Would you like to, Keenan? Would you watch something? Oh, I'll answer that after you're done. After you answer your questions. But it's kind of like how people feel about the military. I think when people don't necessarily, if you see somebody in the military like walking or something, you're not like, fuck that person. Like people that go out and support their country and do something for their life on the line of the country, that they're to get the support. But I think the machine, which is the military, and how, you know, they go about certain things, I think when people don't like that, that's kind of what they mean. Like, I think that's how, I guess, to bring it into real life, it's like, yeah, I love the troops,
Well, if you go over to, say, like, Iraq or Afghanistan, and they, quote-unquote, liberated the, we liberated
it's,
those countries.
It's imperialism.
The people over there are like, well, you also bombed all of our houses.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
and I don't have nobody, no issue. Again, I don't think, again, if I saw, if I say I don't like, you know, how the military is ran, I'm just talking about the military as a whole. If I see anybody from any of the services, branches, I'm like, what's up, man? How you doing? Thank you for serving our country, doing the things.
Well, it'd be like
the
blaming the heroes for what the government and that is doing, and that's not the, that's not the
because
case.
Because
we don't
know. That's the thing, I think, is like, we don't know how much they're being manipulated. We don't know how much they're being told. They can be told, if you're being fed this, you know, this dream about, like, they're trying to destroy us, so we have to get them first.
Right.
A lot of people be like, well, we got to destroy them first.
We got to get up. I got a kid at home. Yeah. I got to wipe my family at home. I got to, you know.
I want my freedom still.
And they got the same thing, too, though.
Right. So it's like, it's a weird thing for me. Like, if this is me, I think, I don't know, I might just take a back seat. I might just be like, you know what, man? I don't know what I would do. Because I feel like I would probably be like, you know what? I can't fully trust y'all or them. Do I retire? Mm-hmm. Do I go, all right, I might just go super, super secret. And the people that I need to get gone, I'm going to do it as good and as dark and as secret as possible to where nobody knows it's me. But it's just like, like you said, you might kill the wrong person and put even the worst person, even the more worst person in place.
The devil that you know.
So it's like, that's where I guess it gets like, when I know we talked about this before, just the government in general, it's like, is the government good or bad? And it's just like, I mean, I'm sure they do some bad shit. That's positive. But like, they also do some shit to keep us in to where we're at right now, or we wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, fuck, like, what do you say at that particular point?
And if you had the keys, what would you do?
Because here's the thing. They might be like, I want to be a good person. Somebody's like, oh, he thinks he's a good person. We want to get you the fuck up out of here. Mm-hmm. Another country, right? You're just like, hey, whoa, I thought we were cool here. No, we want to run shit this way, and you're kind of in the way of that. Mm-hmm. So we got to get you gone.
I mean, it happens even in corporate spaces. I think anybody that comes around that's polarizing, that's trying to change shit, the board members and stuff, they'd be trying to be like,
quo. That's human nature. Keep things the way they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's where I think it gets kind of scary, and that's why I think I might just fall into retirement and do some just like, all right, man, set shit up. If I was Lady Nagant, I'd probably be like her. I'd probably be hitting cats from a mile away. I'm like, all right, they don't even know who hit that person.
Hit him, yeah.
Yep, you know what I'm saying? Hit him with like a poison thing where it's like, all right, we don't even know how to detect this shit. Mm-hmm. But that's how I would do it. All right, let's get into our likes and dislikes and our
real quick. Real quick, what would you want to watch a show like kind of what Brennan explained, where it's like somebody takes over and then they get into power and then they struggle with the power that they have and they, you know, they're initially the hero, but they've lived long enough to see themselves become the villain, and they have to deal with that.
I mean, that's the history of most of the countries in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would. I think the story has to be good. I think whoever the person that is has to just have some type of likability about them, or something that somebody has to have likability in the show to where I want to keep watching this and see how this unfolds. Because when we get into the next show, I talk about that, why my issue with that particular show. So me, let's get into our likes, dislikes, scores. I'll read off what Rob said first, man. This is what Rob, he gave his thoughts on the episode. So this season continues to be at its best, and I think they introduced a really interesting gray moral character in Nagant that shows how dark the hero society truly is. Just wish we had more time with her. That being said, All for One is still darker and a top-tier villain that continues to be one step ahead of the remaining heroes. This latest quirk Deku showed off to store kinetic energy can be insanely powerful towards the end. Imagine charged up All for One with a 100% cowling punch. Can't wait to see what's the last one is. Give it 8,000 for these two episodes. Brennan, I know you love this show a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You are all in on this show. How do you feel?
I feel great, man. I think Rob hit the nail on the head. What this show has done and really set up this world of how we're supposed to be able to be empathetic with the villains is that they have all been saying this hero society is false, it is fake, and we haven't been really shown evidence of that. We've only seen All Might kicking ass. We've seen Endeavor kicking ass. We've seen villains doing bad things.
Mm-hmm.
But now that like they're starting to peel back the layers to it, you're like, actually, there's a lot of dark stuff going on behind these doors. You look at, you know, what's his name?
Endeavor?
No, the actual bad guy.
Dobby.
The bigger bad guy.
Shigaraki?
Shigaraki. If you look at Shigaraki's past, it was created out of the underside of the heroes.
Mm.
If you look at Doubles, you know, like Twice's, you know, his is created out of that. Dobby, the same thing. Mm. It's like the hero has there's this wake that comes with what you expect these heroes to be and this perception that has been allowed to be in this hero society that creates this wake and this underbelly of society that is ignored by these heroes and it's ignored by this society as a whole. And now that's coming back to bite them in the ass, and it's doing it in a really authentic way. And so for me, I think that's incredible. And it's hugely reflective. Personally, when I look at this, it's hugely reflective of like what capitalistic society looks like. You know, is because if you're just paying attention to the glitz and the glamour, there's a lot to see. But if you're not saying like, oh man, LA is one of the richest cities in the world, but also has the greatest homeless population, you know, and it's just like, well, what does that create?
Yeah.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like, what does that create? Like the housing crisis that we have here, you know, it's like, yeah, there's some of the dopest, most giant mansions and the most beautiful places that's ever existed in this city. But at the same time, you know, there's still that many, you know, there's so many people don't even have anywhere to sleep. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, what kind of feelings is that creating? What kind of underbelly is that happening? What villains are being created under our feet at all times because of the way we live our society, because of how unequal it is, because of how much the haves have and the have-nots do not. Mm-hmm. It just, for me, it feels reflective of our society. They're adding depth to this world that we already knew had so much depth. We're adding reasons of the character for Deku to be able to take it to 1,000,000% once again. Mm-hmm. When he does go for all for one in this fight at the end, that we know is going to come at some point. And it just gives more context to like how these other heroes have been surviving in this space, where even the top 5-10 heroes are still, you know, like, for example, Best Genius might still be living in this space where he's just like, I'm doing the right thing all the time, and I've always been doing the right thing all the time because I genuinely believe it.
Yeah.
So it's just like everybody's disillusioned into their own perspective and their own beliefs to the point that it can be even to a fault. And I think it's really well written. So I'm going to give it, I'm going to mirror Rob and say this is 8,000. The action was on point. Getting new powers is on point. The world building is on point. And obviously the voice acting was crazy. So the only thing that I could even give it.
The what was crazy?
The voice acting.
Oh, okay.
The only thing that I could give a detriment to me on these episodes was because we saw Demon Slayer in the theater, like, you know, the animation was cool, you know, but we now know there's greater peaks, but the animation did its thing, but it's, you know, like Demon Slayer is going to be the GOAT of animation for at least the contemporary time period.
So that animation, do you feel like the animation we saw last week was different from the season 2?
I'm talking about season 2 still.
Okay,
you know, like we saw the 4K end of season 2. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Incredible.
It truly changed my perspective of like what animation can even feel like.
Yeah. Ice.
Yeah, I mean these episodes are cool. I think we're still, you know, I wouldn't say lull, but it's like we're getting more about the characters. I do think that my favorite part of this was seeing Overhaul, who had those guys in a fucking torture chamber all of season 4 to be nothing. I think just seeing him like that was crazy. I think it's just wild to see. It's kind of like the Frieza instance, the Frieza and Trunks situation, where it's like Frieza had those guys in hell in a cell for episode on episode, and then Trunks made easy work of them. Mm-hmm. So to see somebody like Overhaul, who they really didn't have an answer for, Lemillion, Deku, everybody, couldn't really do nothing about him. Mm-hmm. For him and him to get Shiraki up out of here and all of his homies and all of them to make Shiraki the number 2, and for him now to Shiraki be number 1 and Overhaul kind of just be there, no arms, no nothing. I think seeing him like that was my favorite part of the series. I think the gray area of Lady Nagant was cool. The elbow with the gun and stuff was cool. I think him trying to figure it out, like, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that. That kind of, for me, after a certain point, it kind of got like, all right, we get it. Like, all right, like, I think that was not necessarily for story, but it was more so of like, that was for Deku to figure out his powers. I think she was put there in the story so you can, you know, he can see his powers work together so we can introduce the other guys, the other quirks that he didn't have yet. I think that was more than that. And I kind of felt like those two episodes were set pieces to display that more than push the story forward in a sense. So all in all,
why
I
can't
give
it be both?
It can be both. It can
I
be
think
both.
It was an literary agent for both, though. Like, I think it gave him context to be to show more of his powers off, which only showed one more power off. There's still one we haven't seen.
Yeah.
And then, but also it was like, you know, it added depth to the world. It added depth to his character. It added depth to everything. Like, if you're going to have something like this that isn't like a full-on milestone, this is like the coolest bump in the road possible, because it's accomplished all the things you want to have happen.
And that's what I kind of look at it as. It's not like a bump in the road. I think it's the grand scheme of things, which is why I can't necessarily give it an 8,000, because there have been 8,000 moments in the season, and I didn't get that feeling from there. So for that, I give it like a 7,400.
I can see that because it's like we kind of been rating My Hero pretty damn high since this season started. I'm with Rob in the sense of like this show hasn't necessarily, because this is not a let up to me. Like if you're talking about from an action standpoint, when it comes to just like nonstop, full on, like
we going
to the balls to the wall, then yeah, this is less than that. But like to me, from a keeping me interest perspective, I'm fully invested into this show.
True.
There's not been an episode really this season that I'm just like, oh gosh, this is brutal. I've been like, yo, I love this show. I can't wait to watch it. Lady Gaga as a character has been dope. I think Brennan's perspective on like, this is why I think this show is good and it's top tier too, and probably some of the best anime, because I love when you give the villains a good enough story to where it's just like, I don't know who I really like.
Yeah.
The villains or the good guys. Yeah. And they have a legit backstory of why they're villains.
Yeah.
Instead of somebody like Frieza, we still don't know why Frieza's Frieza. He's just an evil motherfucker for the most part. Mm-hmm. We don't know what his backstory is. We don't know that his pops was like.
It's funny, I've never thought about that. Why is Frieza Frieza? Like, because Frieza could be Frieza.
Because he's powerful.
Yeah,
I would still love that. You'd be like, yo, you are supposed to be this way because you're superior. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is beneath you. I would want some type of backstory to that, to know about Frieza. And if they bring his brother in at some point, we know about his brother. But like.
Cool.
That's why this show, to me, is going to probably end top tier, especially where the manga's going. It's just like, because they're not stopping even in there. And what I talked about even with the...
The manga isn't finished, right?
It's not finished. I think I'm actually behind a chapter. But, you know, even when it comes to like these, you know, they're kind of starting to bring more in, talk about more of like the kind of animal type of quirks or whatever the case may be. And that's very important to this, because it's like, you're going to see people how they're looked at in a certain way, even the villains. It's like, yo, I understand you feel this way because you got made fun of your whole life. Mm-hmm. But this is not necessarily the route you probably should have took it. So I'm with you, but we gotta kind of go at it at this particular point. So this show is doing a good job keeping balance. Brennan's right, the animation is great, but it's just like once you see Demon Slayer, especially in a 4K theater with that type of sound, bro. And we see My Hero movies. Mm-hmm. That shit still didn't top it.
But so, I necessarily don't want to see My Hero like that.
I want to see My Hero when they have certain fight scenes like that for sure. When he fought Overhaul, that was some top tier animation. Mm-hmm. For sure. So when these fight scenes that they got coming up and that's happening between these certain characters that fight, you're goddamn right, I want to see it. Mm. Because those fights, if they're not animated the correct way, it's going to lose the power of what this show could have been. Mm. So I give these.
I'm saying I didn't want it
right here
animated like Demon Slayer.
Well, not like Demon Slayer, but yeah. I mean top tier in the sense of like top tier animation. But yeah, for me, yeah, these episodes, I give a 7,800. I understand I saying he can't give it to 8,000 because we've given this show 8,000, 8,500s, and that was because they were like neck breaking, fast speed, beating ass the whole time, and stakes on top of that. So 7,800 for me. I don't knock an 8,000 though. I don't even knock your 7,400 to be honest.
Because I just feel like Deku was never in trouble.
He was
throughout this entire because yeah, she,
what I didn't say in the recap was like she pulled her shots.
Yeah, she could have got him out of here.
She could have got him out of here,
and that kind of hurt the episode for me when he said that.
Well, I think that didn't hurt the episode because that was showing her that like she wasn't fully invested in being a villain.
Wasn't. Yeah,
which is just like she was here to be turned. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you know, but she was here to come. Wow. Like it's like, yo, I don't even really fuck with you. Remember, I had a bullet for your head too. All for one. So like. Yeah. You giving me this, but I don't really fuck with you either, dog.
Yeah.
So it's like that. I can't knock her for pulling her shots in that sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably going to have to clean this Garen Logan, what's it called, up? Because we're already an hour in. But yeah, I know, Brennan, you want to dip out?
Yep. All right, guys.
Oh, you don't want to do Garen Logan?
Nope.
I feel that.
Man.
I don't want to. Hey, I'll be with you, man.
I didn't watch it.
I don't want to do it either, bro. All
right,
thank you, Brennan.
Ho ass.
All right, man. So let's jump into this weak ass cap. I'm going to definitely, especially when it comes to the second episode, I'm going to chop out a lot of shit that I'm going to skip. If Ice feels like he wants to add some stuff, he can. But like we're already an hour in. If I read all this shit word for word, to be honest with you, it's going to probably be almost 2 hours. And I don't feel like doing that for this because this show, to me, I'm purposing it. It's not that good to me. So let's get into it. Garen Logan, episode 11. This recap was literally I pulled off the internet and then I threw it in ChatGPT and told it to rewrite it. I said, just rewrite this, shorten this first one up, rewrite it in a way that I make it interesting. So let's see if ChatGPT did his fucking job. Let's see. All right. This episode starts off. Team Dai Garen receives a distress call and goes to rescue a village under attack by a bunch of women saying they're under attack and clearly they are pretty much, it sounds like a setup for the whole stuff, but they don't get it because they're slow. But it turns out to be a trap set by Guam. I don't know his
Guam.
Name. Guam. The crew is taken captive, and Guam threatens to execute Simon and Nia. Nia tells Simon that he is fine as himself. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to be like your boy Kamina, whatever his name is, KKK.
Kamina.
And the crew tries to escape from their prison. Simon continues to dig with his drill until he starts glowing, and then Logan bursts through the rock. Guam decides to execute Simon and Nia, but before he can, the Logan emerges, and Simon and Nia fly off. That is pretty much what it gave me from a short standpoint. I guess to add to some of that, Daigeon goes actually to the village to help, but it's a trap set by Guam. Say that again. He wants Nia, and his goal is to execute Simon and kill Nia, but she believes that Simon is just like Simon just like she did with Kamina. And Simon saves Nia and Logan, and they blast off into the sky. Kamina once told Yoku that it was Simon who actually always saved him. Simon continued digging silently when they were stuck underground, and Kamina only supported him with his bravado. Simon's digging finally pays off, and the Logans burst through the rock in front of him. Guam decides to execute Simon, kills Nia, blah, blah, blah. Same shit over and over again. And that's how episode 11 goes through.
Goes through.
Episode 12. this one was a little bit, has a lot more stuff on here, but I mean, I'm gonna be with you. I'm gonna get to the shits, man. They get into a fight with what's her name? Adina. So they pretty much, she comes back. She's here to start scrapping with these cats. They get into it. At the beginning of the episode, you know, they came back to the Spiral King and said, look, we can't get it done. We failed again. You know, Spiral King is just like, y'all out here, kind of trash. But they find out that Adane or whatever, she's coming back through the ocean and she starts scrapping with these guys. Let me tell you something. There was one scene on here. This show's kind of inappropriate. There was a scene on here when they start to come back up through the drill, through the water, and the drill shoots up. And the dude that fixes all their stuff, he went, ooh, and he jumps up because it looked like they shot into his asshole. This show is wild, bro. Like, clearly they show something shoot up into the drill shoot up into a hole, and literally it cuts to him going, ooh, and he shoots up in the air. I'm just like, dog, y'all wild for that. All right, so pretty much, you know, they trap
equal opportunity, man.
Wild. So they trap Adina, whatever her name is. They warn her, like, Adina. Look, man. She warns the humans, like, don't attack. If you do attack me, you know, pretty much it's going to be a problem. Yoka does not give a fuck. She pretty much says, she shoots through anyways. Pops through Nia's hair on the side. This is actually a pretty dope shot to me. She pops up her hair. Her hair floats up in the air, shoots again through her hair, ends up hitting old girl on the shoulder, puts her down. And she's like, yo, please don't shoot me. If you shoot me, you know, all of us going to end up dying here. And they're pretty much like, yo, we're crazy like that. We don't give a fuck. We'll kill us all then if that's the case. And they unload on her ass.
Hey.
They unload on her.
you double down.
Yeah. All this shit happens.
All this shit happens.
Yeah, this show is just brutal. Elsewhere on a lonely beach, dotted with wreckage, Gunkai, a rag, despondent, and furious viral punch, punches to the ground, curses Gurren Lagann and Team Daigeon. He's pissed off because he lost again. And his, you know, viral. Watching his home, yeah, his homegirl watching Adina, watching her lose too. And the aftermath of all this shit is over. Nia approaches Yoko with a request to trim her hair or to give her a haircut, do something with her. And Yoko ends up cutting her hair to a very short kind of style, and she loves it. And now her and Nia are friends because the previous episode, Yoko was getting jealous of her in a covered up bathing suit, and so was Yoko. And she has her boobs out, and she's like, well, why y'all want me to not be covered up, but she could be covered up and be sexy still? And so she finished cutting her hair, and now they become friends. And pretty much Nia immediately runs off to the show with Simon, and that's how that episode ends. Oh, God.
You didn't say nothing about Simon getting his confidence back.
Oh, yes. I think I skipped that in the first one. So, that is my bad. That's very important. Yeah, so... So pretty much the reason why I think Ice and them are kind of filling this show or pushing this show, from what I've seen, is that Simon now comes into his own in these two episodes. You know, he was pretty much a hoe ass motherfucker this whole time, and he kept trying to be like comedy, And
Comedy, huh?
Comedy was the name again?
Comina.
Comina. He tried to be like him the whole time, bro.
Comedy.
And he doesn't like, you know, he doesn't know it. He's confused, which is understandable. He's still a preteen if that. And so he now comes into his own. He's a boss in his own way. He got his own type of confidence now. And we are literally probably about to see I think now we're on episode 12. Mm-hmm. I think the show is about to be the show now. Whatever the show was before this, it was
prelude.
Some pre stuff beforehand. But now going forward from the next, which is 24 total.
Yeah.
So probably the next 12 episodes is going to be now what the last episode or two was, and him and how he's going to be fighting from now on, and how he's going to even go about and even assess things.
You sound excited.
Sure. So let's get into I think a question that we both have. We only have pretty much like one question for. Oh, you added another question. So, how do you feel about the pretty much Simon supporting cast on the show?
It's better than Ichigo, so I say that much. As far as in the grand scheme of things, I think Ichigo's supporting cast would watch those guys. But I think in the grand scheme of things, and effort and how they help him, I think they do a big job. I think. Yoko, and she helps. I mean, without her shooting Homegirl's shoulder off, they won't get out of that situation, because Simon was still in the dump stand. I think Homie, the flamboyant guy, we'll call him that. Mm-hmm. I think his smarts and him able to even get them across the ocean to get to the other side. Well, not the ocean, the sea, I guess. To get to the other side, to get closer to the Spiral King, I think he played a pivotal role. I think the main guy who was the leader but not the leader, I don't think he is really that great. I don't think he helps in the grand scheme of things. I think he actually hurts them than helped them. And I'm glad that he gave up the leadership role as easily as he did. But I do think Yoko, flamboyant guy, the old man that keeps popping up, I think he has helped on several occasions. They wouldn't be where they are without that old man just popping up every once in a while. So I do think that Simon's supporting cast is, you know, in comparison and on scale to the world that they are in, they are in the top for me.
In the top. Ooh. Mm-hmm. For me, man. The two characters you said, I forgot his name, but the engineer, pretty much, the flamboyant dude, and Yoko, those are the two characters that are kind of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
The flamboyant dude, he is pretty much a comic relief. Him and Yoko are both a comic relief in a sense, but like, I feel like he's probably funnier than her.
Yeah.
He has some good moments in there, and then he also drops some knowledge and some bars. He's like, yo, we can't be doing this right now. Like, shit ain't even done yet. Y'all wilding right now. Let me fix this shit first. Mm. Or this was obviously a trap. Y'all fell into the trap. Y'all are not as smart as you think you are.
Right.
So I think he's definitely a good balance, and to me, I do like Yoko's character, and her she wants that smoke too. She's always about it. I don't see no hoe in her in a sense, like in that sense.
And I feel like Nia's cool,
and I think to me, I don't care about her yet, but I understand like she's there for that balance. She's essentially giving,
she's breathing life.
Semen or Simon, whatever you call this dude. In the dub, they call him Seaman.
Seaman.
In the dub, they call him Seaman.
It's Simon.
Okay, Simon. But they call him Seaman in the other one. So, and Simon, pretty much, she is pretty much the opposite of, what is his name, Comedy? Mm. She's pretty much the opposite of how she encourages him, but she still encourages him.
Mm-hmm.
So she encourages him to get shit done, and he does.
Yep.
But she does it in a way softer way.
Yep.
And he needs that encouragement. Understandable as a young age, as a young protagonist, he needs that. But, I mean, they're cool. Like, the supporting cast is cool to me. Like, it's just like,
but they get the job. That's, again, in the grand scheme of things versus a show. Are they a Zenitsu and a Inosuke? No.
Fuck no,
but
yes.
It's like, in the grand scheme of things,
I would still
get enough, just as much done as Inosuke and Zenitsu does.
Yeah. And I would like more from them from a character standpoint. Like, I would love, I wish, I don't know, maybe she does. Yoko, whatever her name is. I don't know if she's going to get on, what's her name soon? A login or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love for her to have one and be able to not use her gun in that, to where she's sniping cats out, to where she's a sniper in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that happens. But yeah, that's how I feel about it. Next question. Who do you think, who do you like more? Comedy or or his replacement, that dude that gave up the spot too quickly? Me personally, I like Kami no more. I'm not really a fan of this other dude. I feel like that to me was lazy writing. Like, you killed off a main character to give it to this guy to essentially be who the other main character was. And we don't care about this other guy. And I give zero fucks about, I didn't write his name down. I give zero fucks about him. Comedy annoyed me, but at least with him, I cared a little bit about him. Because when he died, that's what shocked me. I was like, oh shit. Like I was, I didn't love him, but I was just like, they got rid of him quickly. This got to be some.
Episode 8.
Yeah. So I like Kamina a lot more.
You keep calling this man Comedy is hilarious.
What's his name again? Kamina?
Kamina.
Yeah. I like Kamina a lot more than I like this other character because I think he's just trash.
Yeah, I think I'm glad that it was a very, 3 to 4 episode spot where he had the reins, so to speak. And that was more so we weren't even focused on him. We were more focused on Simon getting his shit together. So I think if he would have been another 2 to 3 episode stretch of him, I wouldn't have. I might even quit the show, maybe. You know, maybe. Yeah. That's a very, very extreme saying. But I do think that he was just there too as a placeholder, which is why I'm glad he gave it up so easy. But I do think that he was there for nothing. I even from a supporting cast space, up until that point, I just felt like he was just there. I feel like his sisters was more, reliable than he was, in a sense. So yeah, I think Kamina by a mile.
Yeah. So let's give our likes and dislikes of the show. And also, we actually have, this is voting season, man. This is voting season for this show to either keep going with this motherfucker or are we going to get this bitch up out of here. So,
did Rob say his vote, too?
He gave me his vote.
Okay.
So, I'll go first. And watching this show, I'm not having really a good time. I dread watching this show. I push this shit off to the last minute. It'll have a moment or two in there. Like I said, watching Yoko, I think she's fun here and there. But she's not enough for me to keep wanting to, pull through and watch this show.
What about the bitch? The bitch be getting bigger and bigger, him getting big and fucking Adine up. Like, that wasn't cool to you? That action, that it was like a good 2 to 3 minute.
That fight scene was solid, but it was just it's not enough for me to be like, yo, okay, I'm watching this. I was kind of like, oh, okay. And I was in and out, and literally when the scene happened with old dude getting shot up in the ass, I was like, and I literally was looking down, I looked up, and that just literally happened. I was like, bro, what are we doing here? This is wild. But the show to me is just like, bro, I'm just not, you know what it is for me? I don't like Simone that much. Like, I think you guys like him, and for me personally, I want to like him. I really want to like this character. And when it comes to protagonists, if I don't like you, I gotta love somebody else, and I've gotta love the villain, so I hate you, so I love the villain to kill you at some point. I don't really like anybody on this show enough to keep wanting to watch this show.
Who do you like in Jujutsu Kaisen?
I like Todo, I like Toge, I like Gojo, Yuji? I forgot the main character's name.
Itadori. Yuji Itadori.
I like Itadori too. I like homegirl. I forgot the homegirl that has the voodoo dolls. I like a lot of characters. The panda. I like a lot of characters on that show. I actually like a lot of characters and love a few characters on that show. And so that's why I can keep watching this, because I'm not attached. Like, I am attached to multiple characters. If somebody,
but you're not a Tanjiro fan though.
I am a Tanjiro fan. I don't love Tanjiro. I don't hate Tanjiro as much as you do, and I don't probably love Tanjiro as much as Brennan does. But I feel like I like Tanjiro enough to where I'm like, this dude is dope. He gets the job done. And in his world, I like the fact that I'm starting to like him more and more that I'm even rewatching and rereading stuff, because I feel like for him, he's the most realistic protagonist that we kind of really seen.
Oh, no, Skye's your guy, right?
Crew, yeah. Yes. My favorite guy is Giyu still, but out of that crew, I would probably lean towards Inosuke and then Zenitsu and Tanjiro, but Zenitsu when he's asleep, of course. And then I like Tanjiro. I can't say that I don't like him. I don't hate when he's on screen. I like watching him because he gets his shit done. So for me, these two episodes, I give a 6,000.
I think that's the highest score you've given so far.
Yeah. Would I want to continue watching this show? No. We got 12 more episodes of this shit. I do not want to watch 12 more episodes of this fucking show. I don't want to do it, bro. I don't want to do it. And go ahead, man.
What did Rob say?
His vote splits us, so we're going to see what happens after we give your answer.
Splits us, so he wants to keep watching it.
No, you're going to see once you give your answer.
What do you mean?
I know you want to watch the show. I know you like the show. You told me already.
So what? So what was Rob? What does Rob want to do?
We're going to see after you give your answer.
Why don't you just give the answer?
No, this is for dramatics, baby.
That don't make sense.
We gotta make the, it makes perfect sense. We gotta make the show dramatic. We gotta make the drum roll, please. So what do you?
So where does Brennan pick?
Brennan didn't watch, so he doesn't care. So he didn't give me anything. So I know you like this show. So I want to hear what
he must have said no then, because if you said it's gonna split us, then he must have said no. Cam, hey, are you watching this?
No, he's not watching.
He's not. Because what's gonna come down to Brennan?
Give no. It's gonna come down. Rob either said yes or no. We don't know.
You know.
I know.
That's not fair to me.
I mean, hey. He gave me that. Just give your answer. Give your score and stuff like that, and then I'm gonna give what he said.
I feel like we gotta ask Brennan regardless.
Go ahead.
I enjoyed it, man. I mean, I think this is some of the great action. I think Simon getting over his shit. I give you the last two episodes or this last little four stretch episodes of Simon being weak and stuff. I think that where we are now and what this show is about to be is in a good space, and I'm happy about it. I enjoy just seeing Simon get his shit. I didn't remember it being this long. I didn't remember it being a four episode stretch until he became that guy in a sense. But I remember how much I enjoyed him being a guy and him picking up the ball and saying, okay, this is my team. I'm gonna run things, and him growing with that. I do understand where you're coming from, and again, I think for me, I didn't watch this every two episodes every 2 weeks. I watched this.
Same thing Brennan said. He said the way he watched it, it made him enjoy it.
Yeah, and I think somebody recommended it to me like on a Monday, and I think I was done maybe that following Monday. Mm-hmm. So like I really blazed through all those episodes really quickly, and I think that really kind of like a Tokyo Ghoul in a sense for me. It's like that really changed the experience. And now what I've learned over these past couple years, how you consume the anime can affect it a certain way.
True.
And even with you guys being so far ahead of me in Attack on Titan and me watching all the way through and me going through season two of Attack on Titan was just like, it's not that bad. I don't know what Rob and you guys were tripping off of.
I didn't hate it as much as Rob did, but he hated that shit.
But exactly. And yeah. I was watching season two waiting for that moment of hatred, and it never really came. But again, mm-hmm. I wasn't watching it week to week. I watched it in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I do understand where you're coming from and how you're consuming it. If I were to consume it like you're consuming it, I will, you know, I understand why you would want to kill the show. I think on a scale of a Seho to 9,000, these are a much better series of episodes. So I'm going to give it a 6,900.
69 boys, huh? All right, man. So let's get into Rob's answer. He's going to make the decision pretty much in a sense. He said, hey, man, look, I'll be lying if I said I felt strongly one way or another about this show. Mm-hmm. I'm glad Simone has broken through his funk and he's ready to lead now. I think the action is fun to watch and is well animated. But it's frustrating that each battle just boils down to the group is about to die. And Simon reaches deep down and unlocks some convenient power to win the day. Feels like plot armor to me. Him being able to dig everyone out of prison with his abilities as an underground driller is way more compelling to me than anything else he's done in the mech, because it doesn't really seem to be tied to any sort of real skill. Just whatever he needs to happen for the show to not end yet and cross with another villain, pretty much. I'm down to keep watching this show. God damn it. I fucking hated him for this. And at this point, I don't expect the show to break out of mid-tier for me, though. I hope I'm wrong, but he gives it a 6,200. So he voted on the side of you. Trust me, I tried to convince him otherwise.
Well, you know what's funny is I never voted. You just started your thing.
What?
You just started going. I never said my vote.
Well, I mean, from what you told me before, you liked the show a lot.
I did like the show.
Yeah, I think you even said you put it in your, you started putting it in your top. And I was just
I
like,
I never said that.
You said you didn't put it like in your top 10 or something like that?
No. I said I thoroughly enjoyed it, though. I would be on record for saying that. I did enjoy it.
I remember you saying, like, even last when we were talking off air, just kind of like you was like, yo, I kind of want to keep watching the show. I want to see what you feel. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to keep watching. You're kind of just like, shit.
I'll go on the record and say this. Part of me did want to kill the show because I'm just trying to see the best way to say this without ruining the rest of the show. If Kamina dying didn't hit you like I thought it would hit you, that kind of was just like, that kind of really changed, kind of threw me off guard.
Mm.
And you not liking Kamina the way that I thought you would, if you didn't enjoy that and you wasn't hurt by that like I anticipated you being, then I don't know how you're going to feel about this back half.
I'll be real with you. If they would have killed him later on in this show, I probably would have felt, I felt some shit when he got killed for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like, I also felt like I was like, this is too early. So he can he be really dead? I feel like if you would have killed him episode like 16 to 18 when it's closer to the end of the show, and it's like, oh, we got like 6 episodes left and he's dead. Then I would have been like, oh, fuck. You know what I'm saying? I think it would have hit me probably even a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have hit me harder if I loved him like you guys thought I would.
And I thought you would. Because he kind of, we already had this conversation before on other podcasts. But I think that there's other highs in this show. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of highs in this show on this back half.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, to Rob's point, I don't see you taking out of the mid-tier with that. Because I think a lot of that is, you're not as empathetic to or sympathetic to Simon's struggle if you don't realize how great Kamina is, or if you don't like Kamina to the level, then it's like, okay, I'll give you an episode or two or three to get your shit together because I fucking love Kamina, and I need to feel that. But if you don't feel that, then those shows don't carry that same level of weight.
Yeah.
So this back half is different, and it's funny because I asked you something a little bit earlier that was kind of a telltale sign, and we'll see. But the back half is different, and I want to see how you like this back half. So I want to see it for that reason.
Pause.
What did I say?
Like this back half.
That could be
exactly. That could be a lot of different things. I want to see how you like this back half. Go ahead.
Back half of episodes. But yeah, that's all I had to say on that.
So yeah, we're gonna end up continuing the show. I mean, I hope something happens to her, because even if that doesn't spark it, it's like the show. Maybe I start to like him more. You know what I'm saying? That's my thing. Maybe I start to come right, because my thing is right now. I don't like Simone. I don't like it.
Maybe I start to come.
Yeah, but I don't like him. So for me, maybe these back half of episodes, I will start to like him more than that he's coming into the space that who he is.
You gonna put Simone in your top five at the end of this?
Are you saying that just to bullshit me, or are you just saying that to be funny?
We'll see.
I think you know some of the stuff that I like, so you would have to be.
Who's your top five MCs?
I need time to think about that. But it ain't gonna be him. So next episodes, we'll, you know, be going back and we'll be watching, I guess, 2 more episodes of Gurren Lagann and 2 more episodes of Vinland Saga. We'll be continuing those, so make sure you guys tune in. Follow Rob, RV, bitch-ass RV Danger. Follow him at that. Follow bitch-ass Brennan at bitch-ass producer. Follow Cam, Stickman Studios, Ice.
Yeah, follow me on everything, Ice McGowan, YouTube. Can't stress that enough. Dropped that Teddy Roosevelt episode last week. This week we're doing Queen Elizabeth for our presidential fitness podcast. And if you haven't tuned in or you don't know what that is, it's a podcast where myself and Roxy Hayes, we take presidential or historical figures and see if they can pass the presidential fitness test.
All right, Kenan Baker on every single thing. Join me on all those, like with all those, you know, social media platforms. Video's been going kind of hard recently on IG. So please support, keep supporting, and you know, support the stand up as always, man. So we get on this road, we can sell out all these shows. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Animation.
And so anime was solved forever.